This is 1982, and I'm a student traveling back and forth from the Art Institute of Chicago to New York. I'm getting a high degree in art, and I'm having tremendous success as an exhibiting artist in New York. And I'm using an airline that no longer exists that's called the People's Express. Have any of you taken the People's Express? So it's an egalitarian type of flight, and it's like a bus. And we leave from Newark Airport, and I do this route very frequently at this time. On this particular occasion, I'm leaving late in the afternoon, and I happen to know that it's important to get first in the line. And I generally am not, but this particular time I was. So I was first in line, and I got in the first seat by the window, right by the door, so I can jump right out, because it's like being in cattle car, really. And right next to me is a first-time flyer. Now, this first-time flyer has a very big religiosity about them, and they immediately start taking out their saint cards and their crosses and their rosaries, and they're crying, and we haven't even taken off yet. So I turn to her, and I say very confidently, being the world traveler that I was at that time and that I still am, "You don't have to worry. I'm absolutely convinced, and this is a true belief of mine, that nobody will ever die if they fly with me." So I assure her that that's good for her, and she should calm down. At this point, she's buckling up, and she's sweating, and everybody else is getting on there, and we're getting ready to take off. There was weather, which is never good for a first-time flyer. And so we take off from Newark, which is a very busy flight place, and we're flying to Chicago, which is ordinarily a very short flight. We are flying and flying and flying, and we're not getting any closer to Chicago. And this is before terrorism, so the pilot can just open up the door and talk to the stewardesses very nonchalantly. And I think his name was Phil. And Phil says to one of the stewardesses, "Hey, we're not going to get to Chicago quite on time." Now, this woman is digging into my hand and my arm, and I can begin to see her fingernail marks, and I'm trying to calm her down. Anyway, he says to her, "We are not going to land. We don't have clearance yet. We're just going to move around in the air for a while." And I look out the window, and it's like a merry-go-round. There's a lot of different airplanes flying. She's really calling Mary and Joseph, and it's not going to really help, and we're worried about it. And a couple hours are passing, and everybody's still buying the few chips and Cokes that you can have. Phil opens the door again, and he says, "You know, we should start collecting the names and addresses of the people that are waiting for everybody to get to Chicago." At this point, she's now screaming, "We're all going to die." And they're all trying to calm her down. And I'm thinking, this is a tremendously awful experience, and I don't know if I want to continue being on People's Express. I don't have a great deal of choice, but I'm thinking now. And we're flying in this circle, and later on, they start breaking out for free all the rest of the Cokes and the chips. So at this point, Phil opens the door, and he says, "Sotto voce, we have to go away. We're running out of fuel." Now she goes, "They're out of fuel, and it's going to be bad." So they're trying to calm everybody down. And they say to us, "Well, everybody, we're going to go to Detroit International because that's where we can go, and it's the closest place." Okay, so we're flying to DIA, but it's late. We could have flown to Europe by this point. And as we get to Detroit International, you can feel the cattle just like chomping at the bit. Everybody wants to get off. And the stewardesses say very calmly, "No matter what, everybody remains seated when we land. We don't have clearance to go into the international portion. It's closed tonight." Now, I'm right by the door, so I know at least we're going to get some air. And by now, I've got her nails embedded permanently like hieroglyphics into my arm. And she's crying. We get to Detroit International Airport. And everybody rushes to the front. It's like they just heard, rush to the front. And of course, they're pushing them back. And all of a sudden, and please, everybody, understand that this is a stereotype that we know of. But this was a legitimate Mac Daddy pimp that I'm going to describe to you. This really tall guy with a wide-brimmed gold leather hat with fur and a long feather, silver shades, nice gold teeth, a big black cane with a nice silver skull right on top under his hand, long stovepipe pants, full-length gold coat with fur inside. Okay, and nice white patent boots, says he starts striding down the aisle. And the girls, the two stewardesses, are going, "Mister, you have to go back. You have to sit down." And he says, "Get the fuck out of my way, little lady." And he's like pushing her with the cane. And right behind him is this little blonde on these little cracked, cracked stockings, fishnet stockings, and high heel clipping clopping behind him in a tight little red dress and walking kind of like this. And I'm looking at this and I'm hearing this voice, "Get up and go with Mac Daddy." And and she's yelling at them, "You'll never fly People's Express again." And he's like, "I don't give a rat's ass." And all of a sudden, they're going down the jetway. And before I knew it, I'm standing up and I said, "I'm going with him." And she says, "You'll never fly People's Express again." And it's like, that's fine. So we're going down the jetway, the three of us, and he's striding, you know, with great confidence and terrific flair. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a choice between two dangers. I think I like this one better. And we're going through the airport. It's all quiet. Nobody's there. And yes, he had to use a phone booth. And he went to the phone booth and he called somebody. And he said to me, "Do you know anybody in Detroit?" And I said, "No." And it was about 12 o'clock at night. And he said, "Well, would you like to come with me?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I would." And we get outside, and there was this big black stretch Cadillac for us. We got in. It was really cushy. We had drinks. We went down to the Pontchartrain Hotel. He was clearly a well-known pimp. And when we got there, the doors opened. Everything just was great for us. We went. We listened to live jazz. We had a full meal. He put me up for the night. He got me a train ticket the following morning. And I thought, you know, you never should judge a book by its cover. And this was my wonderful experience, and I never did fly People's Distress ever again.